It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock Nasser Vision and Generator Supercenter.
And thank you to the hundreds of P1s that showed up last night to watch the Twitch stream. We had fun talking sports and all that implies. I really broke down this. Is this Cowboys offense the greatest offense there is?
Can I go back and watch this? I want to hear some of this.
Yeah, I went through player by player and gave you detailed explanations of just how good they really are. Yeah. And then also issued my ultimate grade on whether this is the greatest offense
there
is.
Oh, good. I like grades.
Anyway, thank you. Okay. Speaking of grades, the University of Michigan has announced that they will stop assigning traditional letter grades for first semester students.
Man, if only they would have done that for us.
For just one semester.
Oh.
What are they going to do instead?
Pass-fail?
Pass-fail. Hmm. And they say that their goal is to allow first-year students to acclimate to the demands of college and allow intrinsic motivations to guide personally meaningful academic journeys.
They want kids to stay there and keep giving them tuition because too many of them are partying and flunking out.
That, and you can see how, you know, you need... It's a tough transition for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't need to be demoralized with low grades right out of the gate. But yes. When was it that everything became a journey? Or at least called a journey? I guess things have always been experiences. But now everything is journey. In my coffee journey, I've switched over to
coffee
a
journey
brand. You know what I'm saying? Everything's a journey now.
Yeah, we've probably over-journeyed. But it makes sense to me for, you know, some, hey, my journey is in your career. That makes some sense.
Well, that used to be called your career.
Yeah.
But now it's your career journey.
Yeah.
It dresses things up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you just went off to college and you figured it out.
Yeah. Now but it's your collegiate journey.
Yeah. Now you must be eased into your journey.
That's right. That's right. So I think this is an interesting idea. Not opposed to it. I don't consider it the softening of America, cranking out snowflakes left and right.
No, I don't either. I think the basic thing we need, and this goes down to the lower classifications too, is what are you learning? Are you really learning something that, you know, are you gaining interest in something instead of just trying to make a grade? I think there is a difference.
What did you gain interest in and learn in college? Other than your, obviously, broadcasting, which you're interested in already.
Yeah, that was at the top. When I started taking broadcasting courses, even broadcast law to me was really interesting. Courses became interesting to me. That public relations course that I mentioned, the great Roy Busby last week. And by the way, he contacted me when he heard about that.
He did.
Yeah. He was really influential in me of, wow, okay. And yeah, school started making sense to me. But as a kid, history was always fascinating.
As much as I sucked at college, I really did enjoy the classes. Like, I would say most of the classes, it was over 50%. I would get interested in the subject that the professor was talking about. Things that I never would have picked had they not been requirements that I have to take. And yet, they actually were quite interesting. To learn about the history of the world.
Yeah.
Philosophy, history, humanities, loved all that stuff. The math, I don't think, stayed with me quite as much.
No.
But math fascinates me as a subject. It's just not something that I have much natural aptitude to grasp.
I wish I could go back. I mean, I don't want to go back, but if I could go back, I would approach college differently. I was very much against learning. I was just there to get that degree. And so I put the bare minimum into every class, except for our broadcasting classes, because I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I worked at those. We got a radio, TV, film degree. And I remember the film classes were great to me. I had never looked at film in any way from an artistic angle. Mm-hmm. So I found that interesting. But everything else, I just didn't want to go to class. Just wanted to get a C and get out of there. I just wanted that degree. And I didn't really want to learn in my life until probably my 30s.
Really?
Yeah, it was then that I started reading and started taking an interest in other things outside of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd had that attitude and that approach when I was 20, I would have gotten way more out of college.
Yeah, particularly when your brain is still as, you know, the sponge, the knowledge sponge,
yeah,
of youth.
You, I think, are a good example of someone who learned. You didn't
the wrong way.
No, you didn't like stick with it. I have no idea what your grades were, but you learned and
god awful. My grades were god awful.
Well,
it's the best.
But you took things with you, and you have this I don't know, steel trap mind that. You, and I've known a few other people like this too. It seems like if you hear it once, it's in your brain and you put it in storage, and sometimes it's sports and you'll regurgitate it to us. And it's like, yeah, how'd you know that? I don't know. I just heard you guys talking about it one
okay,
time.
But y'all set the bar so low for me that if I even remember a sports name, y'all are like,
no,
how do you know who Lane Kiffin
you,
is?
No, you remember some really crazy things sometimes, but I just think you learned, and that's a good thing.
Sometimes and on some things, yes, I do respond that way. And I have known other people that I almost see it as kind of a mental block that they have. They swear that they cannot remember things.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that must be true, but then part of it feels like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy with them.
Could be.
Because I can read something and then can... I remember what it says, but I know some people that will read something and then immediately they can't really tell you what it says.
Amnesia.
And that seems strange to me. Now, brains are built differently, so maybe they're telling the God's honest truth there that they can't, that there's nothing they could do to correct that problem. But it seems strange. They'll like watch something on TV and then I'll ask it like that afternoon. And you could ask them that evening about it. Well, what did you see? Yeah, it was a great documentary on this and this and that, and it was about so and so. All right, what did it say? I can't quite remember. It's the conclusion was this, but I can't remember any of the supporting details. And I'm like, how? You just saw this?
Yeah.
So our P1 Nick sent me a Malcolm Gladwell podcast, Free Brian Williams, and it was talking about memory.
Mm-hmm.
And how fallible all of our memories are. And that's why an eyewitness in a courtroom, you know, to a crime is not anything you can count on.
We treat it as the most compelling evidence, and it's really the most iffy.
And they focused on Brian Williams, the former NBC news anchor, who was ostracized because over the years, his story about being in the Middle East, in Iraq, I think it was, you know, as an embedded reporter on this helicopter that got shot down, all this, the story had changed so much over 12 years. And he got in trouble because everybody thought he was lying. But what they determined is he probably actually just didn't remember.
Yeah, he thought he was telling the truth.
He thought he was telling the truth because every time you tell a story, it changes just a little bit. Sometimes it's conscious embellishment. But a lot of times you just honestly forgot. And
then you get used to telling a story a certain way.
Yes.
And then you get that truth drift that happens each time you rewrite the memory in
yeah.
your brain because you're telling it a slightly different way. And then your accuracy, now you've got a 20% error in retelling it in 12 years or 50% error.
I can't remember the stat, but most people, their memory is, I want to say, 60% incorrect. Here I am trying to remember that stat, so that's probably wrong. But it was something, it was more than half the time when you are retelling a story that you are convinced you've got it down in your mind, more than half the time you are making an error in that retelling mm-hmm. because our memories just aren't that good.
Not that great, man. Memories are not that great. Speaking of memory, it's strange sometimes. We all use a community printer up here, okay? And somebody will go and they'll grab the stack of stuff off the printer that they've just printed out. And oftentimes you'll get something that some other DJ at one of the other stations has printed out or something that someone left there from the night before, and it's in your stack of stuff. Well, recently this happened to me. Picked up a stack of stuff off the printer up here at work, and there was a story in there about an event that I think we will all remember.
Okay.
If I was to mention the name Lisa Nowak to you.
Yeah.
Man, that sounds familiar. Lisa Nowak.
If I was to mention the two-word term astronaut diaper.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Would you remember anything about that?
Was it so, she drove all the way across the country?
From Florida, if I recall, to Houston?
I think it was the other way.
Okay, because she was in love with another astronaut.
See, amazing how much you remember about that story that just that was 20 years ago.
It was your lead story for like three straight weeks.
Not my lead story for three straight weeks, laughing.
I would have guessed that was 8 or 10 years ago.
She was the first astronaut to ever be arrested.
Okay.
Ever. And it was because of diapers that we remember her. If you didn't have that element to the story, I'm not sure that people would have remembered the story so well. But she, at the time, was 43 years old from League City, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an astronaut who operated the robot arm, the robotic arm on the International Space Station. Mm-hmm. So it could pick up plushies and bring them over and put them into the plastic chute. And then you could get prizes. That was her deal. But the robot arm only worked like one out of every 12 times.
You got it.
And just up there at the space station wasting time doing that over and over again. She was employed at the Johnson Space Center. And she was in a relationship with Bill Oefelein, who was also an astronaut. They were lovers for 3 years.
Lovers.
Space lovers.
Space lovers, yes, and he ended things with her a few weeks prior to this incident. Well, she still had a key to his place, to his apartment in Houston, and she went in, she let herself in, and discovered the identity of her love rival, the blonde and lanky Colleen Shipman, who was 10 years her junior, that I guess this Bill...
He went younger.
Yeah, this astronaut Bill wanted a younger astronaut to be his arm partner. So Lisa Nowak gets very upset by this, and she hatches a plan. She made the 950-mile drive from Houston to Orlando to confront her former lover's girlfriend. And she told authorities that she used 2 diapers to avoid making pit stops where she could make that whole drive.
Boy,
while disguised in a black wig and a hat and 2 adult diapers.
She need a disguise.
I just picture her seething the entire drive.
Yeah. Oh, you think she was? You think she cussed out loud in the car to herself?
Kiss me outside. How about that?
Tell him a few things.
She brought a steel mallet, a buck knife, a BB gun with ammo, latex gloves, 4 feet of rubber tubing, duct tape, garage bags, a floppy disk containing female nudes and bondage instructions.
Whoa. A floppy what?
Disk.
Oh.
Greg.
And a map of Colleen's Cape Canaveral neighborhood. And the single item that she managed to use on her victim, pepper spray. So she catches up to Colleen as Colleen was at Orlando International Airport. She followed her onto a bus and into a nearby parking lot and finally to Colleen's car, where she reached inside the window and blasted Colleen with pepper spray.
Jeez.
What was she going to do with the female nudes and bondage instructions? Was it going to be a hot scene that we were denied because meddling authorities stepped in before
somebody's will? I don't
hot
think
part
hot, so.
Started happening.
She was going to produce a cheap movie.
Yeah. Lisa Nowak was discharged from NASA and the Navy as a result of this. She pleaded guilty to felony burglary of a car and misdemeanor use of an adult diaper. Colleen Shipman says, "I still do have anxiety," said Shipman, a young adult novelist living in Alaska.
Okay, hold on. An adult novelist living in Alaska.
The genre of young adult literature. Okay. She is not a young adult.
Gotcha.
She's 56 smut. And gorgeous.
What?
She writes smut books.
What?
I mean, what?
No. Young adult literature is not smut. Oh. It's
like for teenagers.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's for
smut.
Young adolescent, I think, is what it stands for.
Yeah, like in the bookstore, the young adult section is not smut books.
Yeah, I think it's young YA. What does YA stand for? It's young adolescent or is it young adult?
I think
now
young
I can't
adult.
Remember.
I think young adult.
I'm pretty sure it's young adult.
I think it's yards after catch.
So bring it in. Tittle's first name was young adult, his first and middle name?
No, but I did look that up recently because we saw YA Tittle Insurance in the Bay Area when we were out there in February for the Super Bowl. What did YA stand for?
Yappy Arnold.
I really am confused by the term young adult now, and I've never thought about this before, because isn't it aimed towards kind of tweenagers and and like 15-year-olds?
Yes.
So, but in no definition have we ever called them adults, so I'm very confused.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend too much time on it, man.
I need to spend a lot of time on it right now.
That's all right.
No, I need to make this my research project.
Take it easy, man.
Yeah, so...
It's still real to me, damn it.
Barnes & Noble, for example, they listed as YA. You know, these books are a YA series, and it's young adult novels. Huh. Hunger Games, Harry Potter, those all are
So I always thought
young
that
adult.
Was for tweens and early teens.
It's the same age
when
group.
Really it's for early 20s.
No, this they say for teens.
Okay. So what's an adult again? What's legally an adult?
18 or over or 21 or over?
Okay.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
Let me ask them that. Let me ask AI that.
Okay.
18 is legally an adult.
Okay, so...
Yeah.
You have to be 18 in order to be an adult, and in order to be a young adult, you have to be what?
I don't know, man.
You're right. The term adult does kind of throw you in this.
But they're not really talking about adults. They're talking about
teens.
Teens, yeah. Young adults.
All right. So you YT. So
all right, fine. We'll change it.
Make sure you go and change all the signage
with
today,
who?
George. With all the bookstores.
All right.
We got to run.
The end.